Welcome, it's SV Pod with Stan for Steve. I'm Scott Van Pelt. This podcast begins with a bit of housekeeping, Steve, real quickly. We have an all-points bulletin out for an Alex Hardy. Alex, or maybe it's Hearts. I can't read your writing. H-A-R-T-Y, H-A-R-T-Z.
Hey.
Alex sent me a letter in September of 2021. It's on my desk. Occasionally, I go through these because I think I need to get back to this person. I can't find Alex's address. Alex, if you send me a tweet or another letter, I will respond to you. It's a very kind letter. And just chalk it up to me being a bit disorganized. I'm not the most organized person. Also, people send me stuff in the mail. Like we did a segment once, people send me. I don't ask for it. I just get odd things in the mail. This was a very nice letter. All points bulletin for Alex Hearts Hardy. I hope your child is well, Alex.
There we go.
Their letter was announcing the childbirth. The person's in college at this point. Not really. But anyway, I just saw that on my desk. I wanted to say that while I was thinking about it. There are other letters. I don't have their addresses either. I'm gonna get more organized. Moving forward.
How was your Father's Day?
We spoke it into existence, Steve. A week ago, we said they'll never win. We weren't rooting against you, Boston, but kind of we were, just because Father's Day. I was gonna go to the beach. If I went to the beach, I was gonna have to come back. We got to hang out at the beach. A little full on Father's Day, huh?
How'd your day start?
Well. About that. Shared this with our buddy Rich Eisen today on his show. I didn't think much about it. And then on the drive home, I did think about it. Okay, so let me start with this. I think dads, mostly, when it comes to Father's Day, no one wants a fuss. What do you want for Father's Day? I don't want anything. I don't. I'm grateful. I know my family loves me. I'm good. Okay. Now, Mother's Day, we make a fuss, man. Boys put on blazers, went out for a proper meal. Mom and aunt came. My aunt is like 1A to mom. She's like a second mom. She's awesome.
Awesome.
She's great. So she's on scholarship too. Put on the finery, went out fancy brunch. Why? Because it's Mother's Day.
Got it.
Everybody is accounted for, dressed to the nines, proper brunch, Mother's Day. Well, woke up. Where are the kids? Oh, they're over at your mom's. Oh, okay. Walk upstairs. There's a little beach donut place. My favorite place is called the Sandy Pony. Now, let me tell you what, Sandy Pony donuts are legitimate. You got to wait in line for a while, but they're worth it. That's free. That's a free Sandy Pony plug because I love you. I love y'all.
I was going to say, you're picky as hell, too. They got to be real good.
Better than that. They're excellent. Okay. So I go up and I think, well, maybe, oh, there's the Sandy Pony box. There we go. Flip the top up. Oh, those are the ones we got 2 days ago, and there's one left, and Charlie took a bite out of it. So we got no one here and a half of a two-day-old donut. Happy Father's Day, everybody! Right? And, I mean, I just sat down at the table and thought, I mean, you know, they'll come back eventually. We'll go to the beach. It's fine. Lovely cards. Very sweet. Each kid did his thing.
How's the spelling?
Tremendous. The best.
Good.
I don't want to say the best because I don't want to elevate anyone above anyone else. Mm-hmm. Each kid gave me something that I will do just with them. Last year, my daughter gave me, hey, we're going to go to a baseball game. She and I went to an Oriole game. She'd like to go to another.
Nice.
So we will. My son wants to go to a Maryland football game, but not someone they're going to beat easy. I'm like, okay. He would like it to be competitive. I like that. And my little guy, he drew me a picture. He just wants to play basketball in the driveway. That's his gift to me. My gift to you. It's a drawing of a basketball court. There was no rim. And Charlie said, let me fix that. So he drew like a net. I'm like, there we go. That's good. He just wants to play basketball with that. So once they came back from not being there to say good morning to me, and I'm sure that the reason they weren't there is because the day before they were stomping around and woke Dad up. Mm-hmm. So the gift was, hey, you could sleep in. So I'm not trying. No one. I'm not throwing wifey under the bus here. Mm-hmm. Was a 2 day old donut with half a bite out of it from Charlie. Happy Father's Day. But then we went to the beach and it was a Hall of Fame beach day.
Yeah,
couldn't ask for more. And Boston fans, don't be mad, but thank you, Golden State, because you earned us a Father's Day off. How is yours, sir?
Eventful. It's everything's, you know what it is now. Everything just gets thrown in the weekend. We had a big swim meet Saturday morning.
Love it.
Swimming up in class, both girls.
That's tough.
It was awesome. It was awesome. They, I do think about things, not being a female, but seeing how intimidation could be a factor with young girls doing things in sports. And, you know, we've talked about how your kids get a little anxiety from being at the pool with everybody. And I just said, get in your lane and go. That's it. Don't worry about anything, because you know what happens if you're trying to look at the other over the shoulder, you're not going to swim as fast. So mm-hmm. just go. And it was great. The 6-year-old swam against 8-year-olds, and the 8-year-old had to swim against 10-year-olds, but it was awesome. No tears, fired up. The older kids on the team was awesome. Ended up winning the meet, needed those points, so we got it. We contributed. We actually, you know, bench points. We got it done. Same thing as you. I don't want anything for Father's Day.
Nope.
I was asked about a meal. I said, I'm fine. You know, there's usually the morning run with the girls that mom takes care of at Starbucks. I'm good with a nice coffee. And I said, I'm going to go out and get some steaks, grill some steaks.
Love that.
Lovely day. We had the locked in on the golf. I'm sure we'll talk to the – I have a couple things to say about that tournament. But it was awesome. Thank you, Warriors.
For giving us the Father's Day night. Mom made me a peach pie. Delicious. Another free promo. Shout out to the good folks at Bethany Blues that made room for us and had a fantastic meal there.
The corn?
Port, yep. Cheesy corn. Oh. Delicious. It's like lava, but yet the roof of my mouth's gone. My brain is currently like...
You can taste now, so you just burn your mouth off.
Without question. Eat like a jackal. Nothing's changed. I jotted that down though. Your mantra there. I feel like that's put it on a bumper sticker, because you could say it to anybody about anything in life. Get in your lane and go.
Yeah,
that's what it is, man. Get in your lane and go. But appreciate my family very much. I know you do as well, and we're grateful to be able to have the full day with them. And it's because the Warriors won. And I asked Steph Curry an important question when he joined us on SportsCenter the other night.
We came in with you saying, what are you going to say now? There's a lot of chatter about the one thing that wasn't on the trophy case. Well, now it is. You got a finals MVP. And a lot of guys contributed, but this is your final, Steph. And so what are you going to say now?
I'm just going to have to keep making stuff up, because this is a very, very, very special moment for me individually, for my family, for my team. Shout out to Andre, Katie twice, and now myself to celebrate this individual award that means a lot, because to win a championship, you know how hard it is. You know what you have to do individually to step up, and for this team to get it done, I knew what I had to do. And I'm just blessed to the fullest to be able to have this opportunity, this experience, and definitely going to enjoy this one for sure.
What I appreciate about Steph Curry, it's a long list, but I like that he pays attention. I like that he knows that the guys and gals that talk about sports on the talk about sports shows, the debate shows, did that thing where they made zeros and said he wasn't going to win any. I like that he knew that, because there's a significant portion of NBA fandom that is petty, and so he is too. And the difference is he gets the mic. He gets the mic to say the last word. So what are they going to say now? I ask him, what are you going to say now? They got to find something new, because there's nothing else to say. No MVP, check that box. Can't win without Durant, check that box. He was absolutely spectacular. Not singular. Andrew Wiggins, I'm happy for him too. He was supposedly a bum. He wasn't a bum, but he wasn't not good enough. Afterthought number one player, accumulator, not a difference maker. Well, he was in this series. Draymond's fascinating to me, Steve, because I think he's who I aspire to be in this way. I'm the same person wherever you meet me. Mm-hmm. I think Draymond is too. Mm-hmm. I appreciate a dude who doesn't give a on the court, off the court, at the pep rally, where he's him. And that there's a freedom that comes with that that very few people have. Was he great in this finals? No. But he's one of those guys. Do you measure it in a box score? Not entirely.
No.
And he was fantastic in game six. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Hit two threes in a game. hit that wide open J that they're like, they're giving that to you for a reason. Oh, he made it. It was the most Warriors of wins, but it all comes back to Steph. Mm-hmm. And my happiness for him, that for whatever this world is, the people that chit chat, poke, want to hate, want to not like, want to not give credit. Well, have fun with that.
Yeah. Can't agree more. We talked about him weeks on end, just about this run. I thought they were going to do it. I actually I cashed in multiple futures, finally, on the Warriors. I had three different futures this year on them. I can't – you always make fun of me for betting futures. Why do you do that? This and that. Worked out pretty well this time.
Just so we're clear, I only do that because I don't have the patience for that. I don't have the patience to wait all year. Good. I mean, look, you plant that seed, it grows, and I don't know what you collected, but – I mean, you were eating steak on Father's Day.
Yeah.
So sounds like it was free.
Yep. Got a new iPad. We're good to go. Woo! Yeah. Treated myself, you know? Like as I said, I don't want anything. But no, about Draymond, and this takes – some people can't comprehend this. And there's a lot of people that are sports fans. And if you just go back and look at any great team, they have one of these guys, and I'm just talking about the likability factor. You need guys that are going to press the rules, the angst, test fans, test the other team's mental side all the time. You need those guys, and you need – at least you need one of them, and Draymond's one of them. And a lot of times, the last couple of years, you could see him shying away from scoring and was trying to, I think, get the most out of his guys. He had that one run, I think it was last year. He had games of double-digit assists where you really saw him start to take on a role when he didn't have his full team there. But he was always there. He's always been a dependable rebounder. Defensively, I thought he did a great job against Jokic in the first round, and you just saw his versatility. Now, there's a lot that comes with it, and you said it. He doesn't give a what people say about him on the court, off the court. He's going to be Draymond. But you need guys like that on your team to be successful, especially when you have a superstar like Steph, who people are going to go after. And there's a guy there that's going to be taking away things where Steph can concentrate on what he needs to. And that's one of the many things Draymond does well. And it goes back to the idea of that building of a roster that Myers and Kerr have done. When you look at it, the three guys that have been pillars there are as good as it gets. And I couldn't be happy for them because they did it the way you're supposed to do it.
Yeah. Draymond's there to eat punches, throw punches, yep. The whole bit. Clay was horrible in the last game. Game six, Clay's been great a million times.
Firing.
He didn't care.
He was heat checking. He wasn't even hot.
That's perfectly said. Man, I don't, whatever. I love him too. He's just, and then afterwards he's firing on Memphis for talking crap on Twitter. And then Ja is going after Draymond. That shit, that's the NBA. And that's fine. Stir the pot, fellas. That's good. And I found myself on the drive back from the beach thinking about, cause as we talk on a Monday, it's parade day. And, you know, are they wired for another? I mean, you know, obviously their front office is talking about, we feel like we're set up for however long, and got some questions with free agency, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, the NBA is in a really interesting place right now because Golden State did what doesn't happen much. They had a run, they hit a drop, and then they did this. That doesn't happen a lot without totally retooling. They just got healthy. And so now what? Well, now Denver will get healthy. I mean, Jokic did it this year without a lot of help. The Lakers are interesting because they're always interesting. So are the Clippers because Kawhi Leonard has just had a year off. Phoenix was fantastic, and then the wheels fall off. They get trucked. Dallas takes a step forward. In the East, Milwaukee. I didn't say Memphis. Memphis is right there.
Yeah.
They want up the chimney, all the smoke. Great, fine, go get it. Milwaukee won't go away. They didn't have Middleton for their run against Boston. Boston gets on the stage. They do their bit. Miami's really interesting. I don't know what their roster's going to look like. We'll find out a little bit more about them. And then, you know, in the next coming few weeks here, are they going to make a move, try to make some trades? You hear all this chit-chat. The whole Kyrie thing is careful. Careful. I didn't say Brooklyn just because I don't know. I don't know what they are. I don't know what's going to happen with them. The Kyrie thing is very curious. Got the draft this week. We'll see if anything happens trade-wise, and then we'll find out what the future of Irving, an incredibly talented but complicated dude, what comes with that. I think as you celebrate Golden State, if you immediately think about next year, if everybody's healthy, feels like there's a long list of interesting teams to ponder.
Yep, and that's why NBA Twitter will never die, because they'll just keep going back and forth with
all summer long,
nonstop. And I'm here to officially say I'm going to tap out on a little NBA Twitter for a while, because I just can't do it.
Have the energy. Only so much energy that we possess. But I mean, good luck. Good luck coming at 30. Good luck coming at him, because he's.
Yeah, you might get blinded by all that gold.
Yeah, he'll let you know too.
Careful.
What you going to say now? Well, going to have to find something new. As we talk on a Monday, the Avs get ready for game 3. We've talked a lot about what does it take to beat Tampa Bay, and they've earned all that credit. They've earned all of that respect. But, fellas... You are in the arena with a monster. And that, I mean, you hear Messier say after game 2, that was the most dominating performance start to finish I've ever seen. That dude's been a part of some stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was 7-0 and it could have been 10. I mean, Vasilevsky, bless his heart, he's made a bunch of saves.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been 10.
Oh.
I'm not saying it's over, because Tampa Bay's shown the ability to eat punches, but I don't know, man. This Avs machine looks like it's not one that's going to be slowed down this postseason. I mean, they're 14-2.
Yeah, it's good luck. I just you watch it, you see it. Tampa's the champs for a reason. You're going to have to knock them out 4 times. They're halfway there. We know about, you know, Tampa, how they swung last series going back home. So that's it's just a huge wait and see. But how about that building? That Blink 182 thing they do is awesome. It's so good. And I think we're going to start hearing a lot more from the Denver sports fan because of the quarterback move they made with the Broncos. But It's a tremendous sports city, and it's a tremendous city in general. And I'm just really – I can't believe it's been over 20 years since they were in this cup final. Like, there was that stretch the Avalanche were in every year. And the Stanley Cup, it felt like it was there. You know, and then they went out and made some moves late to hang out and get won a couple more cups. But they've always been a staple to me in my growing up of being there, and I'm just happy for those fans.
It's interesting. I hadn't thought about that, just about Denver as a sports town, because the Rockies, everybody's had a little nibble. Some have had bigger bites than others, right? I mean, but not every big city's got four. They've got all four.
Correct.
And at one point or another, all have been good/great.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that has fan base. Mm. It was the perfect storm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a weekend night. It's a weekend game. It's been a long time since you've been there, and you beat the brakes off the two-time champs, and everybody's there for it to have a party, and it was every bit of it. Unless you're a Lightning fan, obviously. I mean, yeah. I got no rooting interest. It's just a blast to watch. It's a blast to watch greatness at its peak and see the people there. Living it up the way you're right. I hadn't even thought about that. How it's been a while. When you've got four, the odds of you having a run somewhere pretty good. So I hadn't been forever, but for the Avs, it's been a longer time than I had remembered. And I mean, at this point, certainly it feels like a parade is in the offing. How much golf did you watch?
Every second.
How great was Brookline? Didn't like it?
Well, I'll say this. If you watched as much as I did, you did see the history lesson of Brookline. So I'm a little fatigued of getting the house across the street. And, you know, shout out to that. But I'm the
Francis,
whole time I'm watching.
When first we met. Roger Chocolate Malpy. Happy hour here. No, I get it. But just... I went on with Rich Eisen on Monday, and that I was mentioning that in 25 years of doing this, if it's a good venue, I've been there more than once in most cases, just because majors have a tendency to visit the same places over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Never been to Brookline. They haven't had a professional major since I've been doing this. They did have the Ryder Cup in 99, wasn't there. So I'd never seen it, and not being on the ground there, I hate it because I'm just so used to doing what you and I did at Southern Hills, which we talked about here. What a blast it is to just find a group, wander with them, see the course through their eyes, realize where they're hitting it, marvel at that. And Brookline, obviously you didn't get a chance to do that, but you could appreciate just how unusual the layout is, like the rock formations that are in play, the forced carries, the blind shots to elevated greens that you can't even see, and the difficulty of it. It reveals itself over the course of 4 days in U.S. Opens, more that and the Open Championship. I promise you at St. Andrews, there will be two or three names on the board that you're going to go, who's this person?
Mm-hmm.
Tirico coined the phrase leaderboard gravity. It's perfect. Get back to me on Sunday.
Yeah.
Who we got on Sunday? Oh, all top 20 players and major winners. Shout to Denny McCarthy, local guy from DC, who played awesome. Man, if he just missed about three or four putts, he's probably thinking, I was closer to a playoff than maybe anybody realizes. But outside of McCarthy, it's basically top 20 players and major champions that are all right there. It was, and the shot Fitzpatrick hits on 18 is, look, you want to win a major? You got a one-stroke lead on that hole. You got to make par from that bunker, and he hits it the way he did. I mean, Zalatoris called it a 1-in-20 shot. And Zalatoris, dude's played in 10 majors. He's got 6 top 10s.
I love his makeup, Zalatoris. I'm dying to know what his real weight or his real waist is, because that man, 12.
It's a 12.
No, I love, you could tell. I'm just so impressed a guy that young keeps his composure like that in these circumstances, man. Like, for example, Southern Hills, I'm out there. Fitzpatrick's in the last group. I go out first couple of holes. He's done. He bad shot after bad shot. He was out of it real early, and he was his posture and demeanor changed so bad. And what was great about NBC and the Peacock broadcast was sitting there and watching the early groups. Aaron Oberholzer went out, so he was like two holes ahead of the first group that went out every day, mm-hmm. and was just dropping balls and showing what was going to happen on the greens. So on Sunday, when Scheffler hit that ball and it rolled back to his feet, I knew, like, I was like, oh, that's not far enough. And here it comes. And they did a great job with that. So you're watching the early groups, that maniac that was snapping clubs, like watching that stuff live.
Grayson Murray. Hey, he was pissed.
Talk about a heat check. Yeah. And I watched Koepka yesterday. Not happy with the greens early on. You could see him talking to himself and his caddy early on. And I'm like, this is just going to heat up and get better and better as we go. And I watched John Rahm, who he's not afraid. I'll just say that about John Rahm. If it's there, he's going for it. And he got burnt, man. He got burnt going for it. But that's him. That's him. I mean, he won that way last year.
Yeah, I mean, having one frees you up a little bit, but that's his persona. It's major championship golf is fascinating to me.
Good
in terms of what, because and if you're listening and it's not your thing, I get it, and I've done this my whole career, so I'm too close to it to be objective. But I think that it's just, I give Steve crap for like the futures bet, but if you pay attention, it's a four-act play. So over 4 days, things will change drastically. Colin Morikawa was great, and he had a rough Saturday. Could have just said, that's it. Was fantastic on Sunday.
Yep.
One great round gave Matsuyama a chance to win. And if you just, it's why patience is, it's so overplayed. Be patient. You're going to hit a shot like Scheffler did on the par 5-8. It's going to roll back to your feet. Now you can have it affect you negatively and let it eat you up, or you can take a deep breath, do what Scheffler did, hit your next one up there and make the putt, which he did.
Yeah.
And if you're patient over the course of 4 days and you're an excellent player, and all these Morikawa, Matsuyama, Rahm, who fell back, McIlroy, who kept ping ponging forward and backwards, right? I mean, it kept up the leaderboard back. It seemed like if you got to six, it was the worst thing that could happen because immediately something terrible would happen. You'd make double. But if you have the resolve and the patience, the key word, and you're a great player, it's going to reveal itself. Mm-hmm. And if you just keep making par and they make the odd birdie, that's why everybody was making such a big deal. If Matsuyama posted 4 under, maybe it would have been enough. In the end, it wouldn't have, because Fitzpatrick absolutely flushed a couple of crucial shots when he had to, and he won the tournament. He deserved to. But as it is, Zalatoris and Scheffler both have great looks on the 18th. I felt like everyone on Sunday night was like, wow, Zalatoris just missed a playoff. So did Scheffler.
Yeah.
He missed the same putt. And he's the Masters champion. He's the number one player in the world. It's just, as I was kind of playing it back the day after, if you like golf, you must have thought, wow, that was pretty cool. If you really love golf, you're not going to get a major that's a whole lot more compelling. Mm-hmm.
So
than a venue we haven't seen in a long time that has history, that many great players all in the mix. This guy got the lead. That guy's got the lead. This guy gets to six. This guy backs up. I mean, and it's just mayhem in the end. Who's the last guy standing? In the end, it's, you know, a dude with braces. By the way, speaking of his waist, Fitzpatrick is not like he's 220 out there either.
No.
He's found another gear, man. He's bombing it off the tee. That's a big topic of conversation. He's found some length off the tee, and it's been a big breakthrough. But it was an awesome major. Love the U.S. Open. Next stop for Major Championship Golf, St. Andrews.
A couple things.
Yep.
I'm volunteering my services to the PGA golfers out there that need to change their ways with the dress. We got some issues going on. I mean, the champion's wearing two different shades of gray. Like these sponsors, we got to step up. Okay. Adam Scott's in there in all beige, you know, head to toe. Like we gotta be better. Denny McCarthy, I love him. You can't wear black long sleeves underneath a light shirt. You can't do that. Rory comes out with the new Nike shoes first day. Awesome. Scottie Scheffler dressed perfectly. Hideki, I don't know what's going to come out every day when he shows up. We're going navy blue pants and some fluorescent. The Koepka hat early in the week. Nike, we got to tighten that up. There's a lot of things with the dress code, guys. We got to get better. You can't, rhyme with the gray and the black pants. We can't go black pants and white shoes. That's just a no-no.
So guys, we
got to tighten it up.
Guy that wears a blazer and T-shirts on TV every night is letting you guys know, giving you the what for. Enough beige and a little more color coordination is what you're looking for?
Yes. We could be better. I mean, we have athletic apparel companies as sponsors. We got Nike. We got Adidas. We got it all out there. Let's be better, people. Let's be better.
Under Armour.
Help the golfers out. Coming.
There you go. All right.
Jeez.
Steve loves the golf, does not like the fashion.
I've said it. Golf majors are the best pro sport viewing on television.
Wow. Hot take. It's sizzling so hot fajita plate good. Take.
Fajitas,
correct. Get it right. When we write the book about our show, the read Steve did for fajitas is on the prominently featured.
Can we talk about Omaha?
Yeah, let's get that on the way out.
First of all, thanks for coming, Stanford 2 and Barbecue. That was quick.
I was worried about your starters after UConn torched them out of your place.
The week before also against Texas State. I want to say last weekend against UConn, Stanford starters combined, the three starters, two All-Americans, combined to get six outs on the weekend.
That's not a lot. That's
no. Not a lot. So credit to Arkansas and Stanford went to Arkansas early in the year and gave it to them too. That's what was crazy. But the atmosphere, SEC fans, I will say, I understand you have the majority of the teams there. It's great. I don't care about how many Jell-O shots you're doing. Okay?
But wait, Steve, may I?
They're for the baseball.
Steve, may I?
Yes.
The Jell-O shots is simply a metaphor for how much fun people from the respective fan bases can have. This is the Bunky Perkins Invitational, our internet friend who we had dinner with in Tulsa, who didn't harvest our organs in some horrible plot.
Correct.
Thank you. Thanks, Bunky. Bunky and his bride, one side reps Ole Miss, one side represents Arkansas, so it's a house divided. And there's a bar out there that I guess they traffic in Jell-O shots, and they have a tote board. And Arkansas and Ole Miss collectively are in the thousands of Jell-O shots. And I think that really, they're there for the baseball too. And you could argue they're still there for the baseball, Steve, unlike Two and Barbecue. All the respect. And while they're there, they're going to uplift the local economy by spending $4.50 at a time for a Jell-O shot.
Mm-hmm. Jell-O shots.
It's not for me. I mean, I'm an adult. I'm an adult. I prefer a sip and drink.
There you go.
Fold the straw over, squeeze some limes in there, and we're good to go. But you know how it goes with SEC fan bases. They just want to argue about everything. Yep. And when push comes to shove, let's just see who can drink the most. And Jell-O shots. And that's fine. That's fine until the LSU people show up.
Correct.
The professionals have arrived. Yeah. Okay. They got voodoo priestesses. They got a dude in an Argyle cashmere outfit, little velvet, right? You're playing for second.
Yeah.
Okay. Just so everybody's clear. First place is spoken for. You may play for second place. Okay. That's how that goes. This every SEC fan base wants to fight me now just so they can prove that they can drink. You can drink with LSU, but when they pass out and you pass out, they pop back up.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Here's another thing. People that were coming at you after your the field versus Tennessee before last round.
Yeah.
Stanford drank more Jell-O shots than Tennessee. I'll say that.
Got to get to Omaha for that to be a problem.
One other thing about Omaha, I imagine you were the same as me, crazy superstitious when you played. Baseball will test you. Golf's in a tier of its own when it comes to mental toughness. Baseball is, as far as team sports, I put it at the top of the list because of all that goes on with it. And we all have our little quirks that we do. The one and this is what I hate this week.
Here's what I hate.
College baseball players, when you're playing a night game, you don't need sunglasses on the top of your hat. You do not need sunglasses on top of your hat when you are playing a night baseball game.
Okay. I hate it. Okay. So I'm jotting some things down here.
Okay.
I just like to give people some notes on the way out. Salute to Steph. Happy Father's Day. Avs wagon is in full effect. Mm-hmm. Get in your lane and go. Those are the positives. As far as the negatives, enough beige on the golf course, and no Corey Hart. You don't need your sunglasses at night if you're playing baseball.
Thank you.
Where are you with the eye black that covers like the entire side of your face? That's a lacrosse thing. I've noticed that definitely. There's some baseball guys that are going with the full, like, sort of road warrior. Where are you on that?
I don't mind the eye black.
That's surprising to me because you hate most things.
I do.
Okay, but you don't mind that.
I did tell an opposing kid when I was coaching a couple years ago who did the whole face except around his eyes in eye black, and we were playing in November, and I told him Halloween was a couple weeks ago. Uh-huh. I thought that got across pretty well.
Was this on your team or the opposing team?
The opposing team, yeah.
It's always good, the adult heckling the high school player. Keep your poise.
It had to be said. Sorry.
Keep your poise. You know what you did? You did the young man a favor.
Yes, I did.
All right.
But yeah, you don't need the shades on.
Okay. All right.
One last one.
Oh, here we go. Last thought for the week.
You've been doing a lot of driving.
Yep.
Have you turned on Yacht Rock?
I have not.
Okay.
I have not. Should I?
Yes. And here's my other, we could be better. Yacht Rock, let's expand the playlist. Okay.
What do we got?
Like, I love 12? Kenny Loggins. I love Christopher Cross. There's more people out there. Give me some more Hall & Oates.
Love Hall & Oates.
Little Steely Dan, never treat you wrong. Toto does get a lot of burn on there. Let's expand. There's plenty of stuff for Yacht Rock.
Okay.
We can expand the playlist.
I've been listening to that Spotify list that fan made of the SVP and Russillo playlist, which was tremendous because you know what I heard the other day driving down the road?
What?
Mr. Dabalina, Mr. Bob Dabalina, Mr. Dabalina, Mr. Bob Dabalina, Mr. Bob Dabalina. I don't know if you're allowed to play that or if we get just play it. No one listens, Schwenk. It's fine.
Mr. Dabalina, Mr. Bob Dabalina.
All right, so that's one last one to grow on Yacht Rock. Let's broaden the horizons.
Expand it.
Let's look for a deep cut, like Seals and Croft, Diamond Girl. Huh?
Ooh, all right, now you're talking.
Right? Diamond Girl, little Toto, you already said, Hold the Line. They don't just
I missed the Christopher Cross, Kenny Loggins concert Friday night. Kind of tough to tune into a Friday night concert on a satellite radio station when you have a family. Just saying. We could replay that maybe.
Okay.
All right.
I feel like there are a lot of great suggestions this week in the SVP pod. SV pod is what it's called. I got to stick to dismount better. Podcasts just end badly every week. I'm going to make it. You know what? Here, wait. Get in your lane and go.